There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on the Friday Eve edition of the show. And glad to have you here. Easy to get in touch as well for a phone call or a text. Same number, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. In addition, you can always leave us a talkback message when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app. When you open it up there, you'll see a microphone icon on that front page, whatever, landing page, front page, whatever it is. If you'll click that, let you record a message, and it emails to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, so I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, and I think I mentioned yesterday on the show, guest this hour on Midday Mobile, and it's good to get him on. I've been, I don't know, stalking and pestering him on social media for quite a while. Mayor of Sims, Alabama, Brendan Van Hook, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here and to get you out this time of day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, prying you away from a lot. What's on the menu today?
Well, it depends on where I'm at, City Hall or the restaurant.
Well, which gig is harder?
They're both hard, to be honest with you. Dealing with the public is always fun.
Yeah, but I mean, both positions, right?
That's right. That's what I tell people all the time. The Lord really must have put me on this earth to serve if I'm running a restaurant and being the mayor.
Because I got a buddy of mine who's a restaurateur in Mobile, and I realize, wow, that all happened in 1 week's time.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm truly blessed to have the staff that I do, even at City Hall and at Hickory Pit, so that way I can be able to perform both tasks.
That's a good thing. All right, let's talk about this, since you and I haven't gotten to talk on the show before.
Sure.
You're a young guy in the world of politics. You're a very young guy.
Yeah.
And you are the mayor of a city here in Alabama. How did that matriculation happen? What did you do to get to where you are now?
Well, if you'd asked me 10 years ago if I ever was going to be in politics, I'd tell you no.
It would have been a hard no?
It would have been a hard no, absolutely hard no. I was comfortable running the Hickory Pit or my restaurant and enjoying life. And I had young kids at the time, and now my kids are, one's 22 and one's 17. Back in the day, we had, the city was newly formed,
mm-hmm.
and years ago, we wanted to, the Hickory Pit wasn't in the city limits.
Okay.
And so we wanted, and there was a lot of other businesses that weren't in the city limits because the way the city was formed, obviously, you know, you have to be contiguous with one property to mm-hmm. another instead of doing a vote by referendum. And so we wanted to have a voice in our community as well. So we formed a group called BOSS, Business Owners of Sims, which eventually turned into the Sims Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And so anyway, we ended up going through the processes, and we had some about seven years ago, we had some, didn't have a good relationship with the previous administration on cutting funding for the Sims Chamber of Commerce and economic growth. So eventually my ideal was to run for city council. And then, you know, things changed, and I called my wife one day and said, I got good news and bad news. She said, well, what's the bad news? I said, well, what's the good news? I said, oh, I'm not running for city council. She said, what's the good news? I'm bad news. I said, I'm going to go and run for mayor.
did you go click?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. I think she still does that daily every time she gets on Facebook.
done with the mayor here. So you did this, and this is interesting. So out of necessity of being a private business owner, mm-hmm. it moved you into politics.
Yeah. Well, we wanted, like I said, originally we wanted to have a say-so in our business, but we also knew that Sims needed growth.
Mm-hmm.
I own a restaurant in Sims, but at that time, there was only three restaurants, sit-down restaurants in Sims that we can go to, so my wife and I were spending all of our money outside of Sims into Mobile, but we weren't the only ones that were doing that, and it right. needed to be fixed. We needed to keep our money in Sims. If we were going to be a municipality, we needed to keep our money in Sims and support the people in the community of Sims.
So that's what you've done, because the growth, and we'll talk about mm-hmm. that. Just watching from the outside, you know, looking at y'all, there's something, it's like every week yeah. y'all are announcing something new going in.
Well, let's rewind, because what we did when we came in, we obviously wanted to make an immediate impact on our community. And one of that was we bonded out for the first time in the history of our community. And part of that bond was to pay for an economic growth study.
Okay.
The old days of knocking on the door and saying, please come to Selms, that's over with. People want to know they can make money here, that their properties will be protected. So we had to get a gap analysis report done. That report tells us how many people are going outside of Sims and buying apples, or how
okay.
many people are going outside, going to restaurants outside of Sims, or how many people are shopping grocery stores going outside of Sims.
So it gives you a real number to say, is it worth
right.
going
that
after?
That's right. That way we can, yeah. instead of saying knocking on the door and saying, hey, come to Sims, we want people to say, well, like, here's the proof. You can make money and stay here in our
community.
Did
that report say, hey, there's X number of people that are
yeah, I mean, was there anything,
apples is a good example, yeah. whatever it is. There's X number of people that live in Sims mm-hmm. that are going outside the city to buy apples.
Yeah, I mean, and they track you all by these things right here, by these mm-hmm. cell phones. I mean, that's how everything is tracked. And so we would get those reports back, and then when we were able to finally utilize them, we got one big hit through a developer, Blackwater Real Estate, and they actually were the development of where the Publix is.
Okay. So that, and I've seen this happen a lot of times, once you get that whale, we'll call mm-hmm. it, then the fish come.
That's right.
Right.
And generally, the good thing about Sims is we're not landlocked in most of the places, and Sims has a lot of area for growth available.
Yeah, yes. I want to delve into that. We could do it now or
sure.
later. Just, I think about driving, you know, when I'm driving through Sims. So mm-hmm. I live out in West Mobile County, so I'll come from the south, come up, be in Sims, going through Sims, and then I'm out of Sims, I'm back in Sims.
Right. That's a nightmare, like, trust me. We see those county signs all the time. County maintenance starts, county maintenance stops. So we get complaints about them. They'll put them in neighborhoods. So, you know, and again, because Sims has to be, in order for you to be annexed into the city limits of Sims, your property has to be contiguous, which means it has to be touching another property that's already annexed in. But you have to petition yourself through annexation in order to be a part of our city. So if you want to be a part of our city through annexation, come to City Hall, get a petition for annexation. We got a notary on staff that can help you out with it, and then we can get you in. And it's because of the classification of our municipality. It's not because that's the way we wanted to do it. When they set up the city years ago, I wasn't part of that, but when they set up the city years ago, the city was set up as a certain classification. And because that classification will always be that classification, it doesn't change, no matter how big our population gets or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can't have a referendum to change the
We could have a referendum. But in order for us to have a referendum, we tried to do that when I first came on as mayor. We put everything in sections and tried to get a vote put together so the people had the opportunity to vote in a section kind of like Mobile does. But in order for us to do it, we have to have 60% of the landowners already petition for annexation in order to have the vote by referendum. So we were like, well, we're back at square one if we have to do that.
Yeah. So that's the idea of, like, so when I say I'm driving, I'm like in Sims, I'm out of Sims, I'm in Sims, I'm out of
yep.
Sims. That's people that have asked, like, here's this neighborhood or here's this
that's
group
right.
they've annexed in,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, half mile up the road they didn't, and then
that's right.
another contiguous area, another half mile up the road they did.
Yeah, we don't put those signs up. I'm going ahead and tell you that because we could get a lot of calls about it. The county puts those signs up, and it's for county maintenance is what it is. They want, you know, their maintenance department to know. You know, this you work on this area, Sims works on mm-hmm. that area. And that's the only disadvantage about as young as our municipality is. Because, and we do have, on certain roads, we do have an agreement with the county that we take over the whole road. But there's a lot of, in order for us to take over the roads, the right-of-ways and everything, we have to have both sides of the road. So you may yeah. be annexed in over here on this side of the road, but across the street you're not annexed
in. So it's still county then.
So that's still county road.
See, I'm learning new stuff the whole time. All right, coming back, we'll get y'all's questions and more of mine for Mayor Van Hook right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1218 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you here. 251-343-0106. Our guest, Mayor of Sims, Brandon Van Hook. And I'll get to your questions from the text line in a second, but I got a few more of my own. So we talked about the city, talked about the definitions of city limits. But the other part of this we mentioned at the beginning is the growth. And I don't know, you know what comes through the city. I know what makes it to me through news accounts. It does seem like, I mean, exponential, maybe logarithmic, always messes those up. It's a lot of growth there for Sims.
Yeah. We wanted big town conveniences for our small town, and we had to be able to prove that those folks could make it here in our community. One thing, that the most desired thing in our community was restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always the mentality that, well, the mayor owns a restaurant. Mm-hmm. He's not going to bring restaurants in. There's no way he's
going to bring restaurants in. That's all I ever see. I'd see your picture with other restaurant owners.
So you wouldn't believe the comments that we see on Facebook. But again, like I said, I own a restaurant in Sims. My family and I like to go out too. We don't eat at our restaurant every time we can. So
it's got to be kind of cool for the restaurant owner, though, that the mayor comes in, who also knows the business they're in. Y'all can talk shop.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Let's take Big Mike's, for instance. Mm-hmm. When we were able to get them, they were amazed. I mean, they were amazed that the mayor owned a restaurant, and you know that we could actually have a communication and understand what each one of us are talking about. So, in order for us to do that, we had to find out what other municipalities were doing to attract those businesses, and so we got with. Andalusia, they were doing a big, like in their city center kind of type mm-hmm. deal, and they were doing a big thing because we knew they had Big Mike's, and we wanted to see what they did in order to attract Big Mike's. So we went and visited with their team up there, and in fact, they set us up with a meeting with the Big Mike's guys while we were there.
Well,
we had already
productive.
Met them. And this was the second time we had met with them. They actually came down to Sims, and we met at the golf course, and it was just a general conversation. What can we do to get you guys down here?
Mm-hmm.
We're a rural area where you want to be. We're right outside of Mobile. You're going to make money here, and here's how we can prove it.
Yeah, you have to improve it.
Right.
Yeah, you can make money here, but by the way, here's the details.
That's right.
Yeah.
And these are the people that, even though our city limit says only 5,000-6,000 people, our trade area is over 60,000 people. And so that's what we have to sell as our trade area, and that's what we had to prove.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and then we went up to they told us about Andalusia. We went up to Andalusia, met with their team up there, like, hey, what did you guys do to attract these folks? And they said, well, you need to tap into your 772 Amendment, which is
– what is that?
It's basically Alabama state law that allows municipalities to use their funds in order to attract economic growth and economic development. And so we also did that. We also went to the Alabama League of Municipalities, put on a what's called an EDA, Economic Development Academy.
Okay.
And so a couple council members and a couple of our – we've included some of our Sims Chamber of Commerce folks. We got together and we joined this academy, and it was a six-month program that we went through, and every month we would go to a different city. And so we did that, and we learned a lot about how to attract businesses and the right businesses for our community, because we don't want to attract just any business.
Right.
We want to make sure that business is sustainable and that the community wants that, because if the community doesn't want it, they're not going to make any money.
I like about – the audience probably knows I often talk about – this is more in state politics. I'll say when we're trying to do something up on Goat Hill, mm-hmm. But another state like Florida or Mississippi has done it. I'm like, we can just go look at how, if they've done this thing and it's working, let's see how they do it.
That's
good
right.
for you.
Yeah.
Like if Andalusia's doing it, it's worked for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. How'd y'all do this?
So, and that's what we did. And we took notes from them, and we tapped into our 772 amendment, and then we were able to make an attractive proposal for Big Mike's. And during this whole process, somebody heard about it. I heard about what we were doing, and I'm sure you know who that was.
Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, everybody on the text line. I we'll just say it, and then I want to talk about a lot more to it, but the Cock of the Walk announcement.
Yeah. It's huge for us, for our community. I mean, both of these restaurants that are coming in, we have other restaurants coming in too. Mediterranean Sandwich Company, he's getting ready to open any day now. He's a great guy to work with, and you know, that's one of my favorite places to go mm-hmm. eat, believe it or not. And then, but these are actually two restaurants that are going to bring people into our community. It's just going to bring people from outside. People from Mobile are going to start spending their money in Sims and mm-hmm. going back to Mobile.
It's going to be the reverse.
That's right. It's going to be the reverse effect.
That's not bad, Mayor. That's a good thing.
And that's a great thing. And you know, that's another reason why we dealt with the developers that we dealt with Publix, because it's right there on the outskirts of Mobile. We want those folks in Mobile to leave Mobile, come to shop at the closest Publix, which is in Sims, and spend their money here.
Absolutely. So all this growth, and we're mm-hmm. talking about the restaurants, but we have businesses and we got people.
We got people, yeah.
And so how much more can Sims grow right now before it gets unwieldy,
We don't know, and that's one of our things we're working on now. And you know, we, like I said, even though our sea limit says 5,000, our trade is 60,000, which is it's already large.
Yes.
Recently, the city council just voted to put a moratorium on major subdivisions, and that's because we want to make sure our infrastructure is going to be able to handle the growth and handle any more new homes coming in as well. We've got some problems in some areas with some drainage issues that we need to take care of. We have traffic studies that we want to implement that we've had done. We want to implement some of the ideas on the traffic studies. There's a lot that we need to do in order to make sure that the growth can sustain. At the end of the day, we want change, but we want to make sure it's the right change for our community. We have a handful of people that, it's still, they don't want the change in the community like Sims the way that it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unfortunate thing is that change is coming, whether Sims is a city or not, and change is inevitable and growth is inevitable. And it's either that we have a municipality and a city council that cares about Sims and wants to make sure that growth is in the right places, and versus that growth controlling us. Mm-hmm. And if Sims wouldn't have become a municipality, that growth would have controlled Sims in the long run. And so it's a good thing that we do have the rules, the laws that we do, and we can stop subdivision development in case we look at infrastructure. Because before Sims was a municipality, we couldn't do any of those kind of things. You know, we didn't have zoning. We don't even have a planning commission.
Right.
So
I mean, and infrastructure wise, you stop it for right now. Does that mean you sit down and go, okay, let's build, drainage? Do you build it out and then go back and say, okay, it's on now?
I think that what we're doing right now is just kind of identifying the issues. I mean, our moratorium is only for a year at this present moment to allow the planning commission to kind of change some of our subregs. So the builders that come in and do meet the needs of our community and how we foresee what our community would look like based off of our research, and what the people want. I know people don't want quarter acre lots with every house on, with 1,000 home subdivisions. We know that our community does not want that. And so, we need to change our subdivision regulations in order to enforce that. And so, in order for the neighborhoods to be built, the communities want, the people want it to be built, we have to get those in place first.
Okay. Let's also talk about, you put a lot of people in, they drive, the traffic issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's traffic issue from 20 years ago to today is night and day.
Well, actually, and I hate
even
to,
10 years ago.
I hate to say this about Saraland, but we thank Saraland every day. that usually traffic on 158 in Saraland used to be the traffic that came straight down Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And the headache that Saraland has with the backed up traffic on 158 was the backed up traffic on 98 just a few years ago. I don't know if you remember or not.
Mm-hmm.
So
you just moved it east.
That's right. So people always said, Sims is going to shut down because the traffic moved over on 158, and Sims was never a destination stop for those folks traveling. Sims has always been dependent upon the locals, mm-hmm. and their spending habits, not on the people coming through our town. So we were blessed on that. But we've actually relieved some of the traffic by 158 opening up, which helps us in the long run trying to for some of this growth.
So actually, if it wouldn't have been for that and moving it, you'd be in a
pickle. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. We would be in a pickle. And that's why I said we thank Saraland every day for taking our problems. Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it. In case you're listening.
Might be. All right. So let's go through some of these questions here that I've got from the text line.
Sure.
This one, okay, roadways from John. said for the mayor, when are they going to four-lane Highway 158 from Newman Road, the extension of Schillinger Road, to U.S. 98 in Mississippi?
Man, we wish that they would do it tomorrow. The traffic problems on 158 is a nightmare. Unfortunately, Sims has no say-so. We have a good relationship with ALDOT, but we have no say-so on what they do, when they do, and how they do it. That's definitely a question for the legislation.
Do you petition them, or we don't really have a mechanism?
We can't petition. I mean, that's all through state funding and everything, so that really has nothing to do with the city. Now, we did petition them for when they first opened up. We complained about the intersection at Schillinger, our Newman Road, and 158. I think, and I hate to say this, but I think we were having two deaths there a week. When they first opened up. And actually, somebody from ALDOT told us that was the first time ever that, because they didn't put a light there at first. That was the first time ever they had to put a light there because of the safety issues on a bypass like that.
Wow. This annexation question, well, sure. I tell you what, I will set it up. We're about to go to the news, and okay. It starts whether sure. You know I shut up or not. I'll set it up. This from Jason said, Mayor, is there any desire by Sims to annex Kushla?
Oh, no. I mean, look, if you look at our map, go to our city website, you'll see Sims, what is it, www.cityofsimsal.gov. You can go on that website and you can see our maps and you can see how far we've gone and since we've been incorporated. And that took a lot of work right there. In order for us to get anything outside of our city limits right now, it's still going to take a lot of work. Our goal right now is to actually fill in our city limits and fill in those holes. We need more of a defined area when it comes to our annexations and to where our city is versus having signs all over the place, like you mentioned, that we stop and start. So
that's coming right back with Mayor Van Hook.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and good to have Mayor of the City of Sims, Brandon Van Hook, in studio and answering more questions here. This one, Mayor, what about the potential for the new Sims school system and its break from Mobile County Public School System? And I'll come back to the second. So, yes, the answer to the first one.
So the city council has voted to create a feasibility study, to get a feasibility study created in order for us to separate from the Mobile County school system. Bottom line, if it's feasible for the city to do it, then we'll move forward with it. And if it's not feasible for us to do it, we won't do it.
In the feasibility, I mean, obviously it's going to be a lot of pages, but a summary for a knee booter like me, what would you see in there that shows you?
Basically, we want to see basically taxes, if taxes are going to go forward. We were honest from day one about taxes when it comes to the school system. And I put a post out and said, look, we hear the cry, we hear the need of a school system. Our local football coach got hired. Mm-hmm. I mean, fired. I apologize. Mm-hmm. He got terminated. And then so he...
he's getting transferred.
He got transferred to an elementary school. That happened yesterday. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I would say your feelings on that.
I don't want to get in too much into my feelings about it. I mean, it's a fortunate situation to an unfortunate guy. I mean, he was a huge community guy for Sims. And he didn't do it because he was getting paid. He did it out of the kindness of his heart. He taught our kids, not only our kids, but our parents, what it was about to be part of a team. He taught, the Christian value of it, the politics. Ticks about it. I mean, and these guys, his team and his staff were loyal to him, and he had a good relationship with everybody, not just the city. But I don't want to get too far into that because we'll be here all day. Right. So, but then that's not the reason why we're separating. The cry, we started this about 3 years ago, but the outcry because of our coach getting fired. It amplified it for our own school system. So we said, look, we hear you, we get it, but you have to understand that if y'all want to move forward with the school system, that an ad valorem tax would have to be implemented. Because, we're the only city, I believe, in Mobile County that does not have an ad valorem tax. There may be one more, I can't remember, but I know we have no ad valorem.
Okay.
Which means we at City Sims collects no property tax. And so... Mobile County collects property tax on Sims.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think it's the same thing, but it's not.
Mobile but y'all County don't, has, as a municipality.
As a municipality, we collect no ad valorem.
Huh.
And so I put it out there from day one and said, look, if we're going to do this, there has to be an ad valorem implemented. So we met with a few folks and said, let's put a survey out. So we put a survey out, and it was overwhelming success on the survey. The survey basically said that, yes, we support Selma's breaking off from Mobile County School System. Yes, we support an ad valorem, but we want to know how much it is. And more than anything, they supported having more local control and versus, you know, the county having control over our school system. So that's why we've decided to move forward with the feasibility study, because, you know, and the poll was sent out just to some citizens. It wasn't sent out to Mobile County. It wasn't sent out to the city of Mobile.
Right.
It was sent out just for voters registered in the 36575 area.
Okay. So the feasibility study could come back, and that could direct you to say, yes, we're going to.
Yes, right. And we want, you know, and hopefully it'll tell us all the information that we didn't need to know. So we hired a team to do this. We, you know, Brandon Van Hook, I mean, I'm a chef. I'm you know, some days I barely make it as a mayor. You know,
I think you're doing good.
So, but anyway, I'm not an educator. I'm not going to pretend to be an educator. I'm not a superintendent. I don't pretend to be a superintendent. We have to have the right team in place to make sure this happens and it happens the right way. And so we've contracted with a great group of guys, in order to do that. And they have to be able to speak on behalf of the city of Selms and the education aspect. I can't speak on that.
Okay. Well, what would that look like, though, if it did happen? I know it's been discussed before, but would y'all take over the buildings and then buy them from
the concern right now is that we would love to have the buildings that they have now, but in order for us to have those buildings, they have to be annexed in. Again, it's an annexation issue. They have to be annexed into the city limits of Selms. So we want the feasibility study, and we have the feasibility study, and we want the the public's input, and we want that to show that, you know, our current board that, hey, Selms can exist. You know, the board has sold schools to other municipalities in our area, and if that doesn't work, then, you know, the only route that we can do is that Selms would have to build their own schools. That should be very costly.
Yeah. I would say. I mean,
either way, it's going to be costly, but that would be a lot more costly than actually getting schools that's already in the city limits, or that are contiguous with the city limits.
Yeah, there's. But you got. It's not like one step to make this happen.
Oh, no, this is. No, I wish it was. You know, it's not like Orange Beach. Orange Beach, they went to council one night, started a school system the next day, and they had their school system up in 9 months. But, of course, Orange Beach, I believe they collect about $43 million just in lodging tax alone, which would be nice for us. We don't collect that.
Well, and even thinking property tax, I guess they collect at
the I think they have one of the highest in the state.
And they have a whole bunch of people. I've thought about that when that was happening. I said, well, that's pretty good, because you have a whole bunch of people that are paying property tax there that don't vote.
That's right. This school system has a total of, I think, 1,200 kids.
And that's so all these people paying for this. Right. It's a pretty good formula
that's
for them.
That's a good deal for them. I mean, you got 1,200 kids, which is probably equivalent to about 14, 15 kids per classroom.
Wow. Where else in Alabama?
I know.
that's awesome. We'll see. We'll get back to some of the text about school. I do want to ask you, public safety. So public safety, always a question. Mm-hmm. Any mayor that's in here, you have people ask about public safety. So first of all, how do you describe the situation right now for Selms, public safety-wise?
You know, we have our issues just like everybody else does, drugs, domestic violence. I mean, if you have the problems that Mobile has, the problems City of Selms has. You know, we have a newly formed police department, Chief Friend. He runs that department, and he does a phenomenal job with what he has. I mean, you know, he started the department from ground up, and we're still a newly formed department, so we're going to have the growing pains that come along with it. But, you know, I'm proud of those guys and what they're doing and how they're moving. And of course, you know, we have our issues with officers just like anybody else does, but we take it, you know, if we do, then Chief Friend takes care of the situation and we get it done.
All right. What do you, you know, you talk about kind of the building moratorium for right now.
Sure.
Infrastructure. We talked about restaurants. What other kind of businesses, as a mayor, are you looking to attract to Selms?
Look,
outside of grocery stores, restaurants.
Right now we're looking for just the conveniences for our people. You know, we want the more restaurants, more opportunities for shopping, more retail. But we also we want some kind of an industry to invest in our community too, because, you know, even though our restaurants and our retail, they provide, you know, the needs of the community, they don't provide, you know, top paying jobs as well. So we would like to, you know, we want our kids, overall, you know, we look at this because I'm a family guy too. More than anything, I'm a dad. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want my kids to stay here in Sims. I want them to live here in Sims. And I want them to invest here in Sims. And I would love to stay for them to work here in Sims.
Yeah.
And so, and I, you know, in order for that to do that, we have to be able to attract what that young group is wanting to do in Sims. And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in Mobile, which helps us out right now. Airbus, Austal. Mm-hmm. You know, my son works at Airbus, you know, so Airbus, Austal, and that keeps our community growing as well.
But you got to think about out of the 6,000, the population of Sims, how many people that live in Sims go to work in Sims?
There's only a limited amount of places to go, and mainly, but we have quite a few industries out there, believe it or not. And of course, Sims is known for the nursery industry. You know, we once the nursery capital of the world, and so that has defined Sims over the years before it became a municipality, and it will always define Sims.
Y'all's brand, you'd know you were in Sims when you saw it. You know, and I've had multiple nurseries, but I'm thinking growing up, just the Tom Dodd Nursery. You knew you were in Sims.
That's right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Even driving down Snow Road, driving down Moffat Road, as soon as you see the nurseries, you know you're in Sims.
Another question here on the fiscal side of it for a city, as a mayor running it. First of all, like checkbook, how's the checkbook look for Sims right now?
I'll give you an example. When I came in office, well, let me explain this. When it comes to finances for a city, you have to have debt, and also you have to have cash in the bank. And at one point, when I came in his office, we had about $6 million in the bank. Today, the city has about $18 million in the bank, but we do have debt for the first time as well. But that debt allowed us to have a good reserve in our bank. We had more than that, but we built the fire station on Shillings Road, paid $4.3 million for it, and paid cash for it. That's
impressive.
Huge for a municipality our size. And so,
good for y'all paying cash for something.
When we came in, our budget each year was at $7 million, our budget was. And we're fixing to pass a budget 6 years later, a little over $13 million, almost $14 million.
But you got
shows you that we've increased our revenues by over 100% in the last 6 years.
I'm still stuck on paying cash for the fire station. Yeah. Good for y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Stuff I love. Let's think about other places of spending. So what the city spends the most on what? If we look through, you're looking through the back of the checkbook here. What is number one line item?
Public safety.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, number one
in it. I started thinking about, too, y'all are city. You got people. You're going to try to keep people there. You're talking about that. What about the stuff that doesn't have a dollar sign on it, but it's a quality of life. I've looked at it for Mobile. Really grown over the last 20 years in my thought about the importance of parks and community facilities and all that stuff. When I was younger, I didn't think about it. But now
they have. I mean, we're huge in our parks department. And it does have a dollar sign on them. We've built.
It does. But, and it has one that comes back. But I think it's always been hard.
Quality of life is what you're referring to.
Yeah, it's tough to have the folks at South run you a quality of life equals X number of dollars.
You're absolutely right, Quality of life is everything, especially in Sims. Since I've been on, we've built a dog park. We've doubled the size of our splash pad. Built a pickleball facility. We've actually added on a second splash pad at a second location. Here recently, we've applied for Go Mesa funds for the first time in Sims history to build a kind of a passive park. We really don't have a area for our community to gather besides our schools.
Okay.
And so we're looking for, we've purchased some land across from City Hall that we want to go with an empty field that we have in front of our City Hall right now. And then we're going to put an amphitheater out there. And it's going to be it's going to be just a gathering place for our community versus us every time us having an event being out at Mary G. Montgomery High School.
So it's going to be the Sims Community Park or whatever.
We'll call it Sean Sullivan Park.
How much is that going to cost me? We'll run to the break and the mayor will talk about how much that's going to be. All right, coming right back, more with Sims Mayor Brendan Van Hook right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Like the mayor and I were just marveling at. It's not all over Mobile and Baldwin counties, but a few places getting showers, like right here at Airport 65. It's pretty small. It covers about four city blocks, but we're getting a heck of a rain.
Much needed.
Yeah, and speaking of which, so rain out there. Grant on the text line said, what's the plan for the drainage for Stone Road getting to 158?
Look, we're continually working on that. You know, they have county engineers working on it. Our engineers are working on it. There's just, we're trying to find a solution in order to get it fixed and properly fixed. They've had some serious drainage problems over there. I think there's a creek bed or something that runs behind some of those homes as well, plus new subdivision development. So we're trying to figure out what the mixture of those two that's all of a sudden causing, you know, these floodings over the last 4 years.
This from Sheila said, so proud for Sims pursuing this next step. A question, will the management also be zoning to protect farmlands, additional tax incentives as the price of land increases? And I'll ask the rest of it. So that's the first part.
No, we don't. That's the question. I wouldn't even know the answer to that question right now. We obviously want... like I said before, our nurseries are the identity of our community, and we want to make sure they're protected, and that includes our farms as well.
Yeah, because she goes on to say, don't have answers or suggestions at this point in time, but would love for this beginning to consider this idea.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so yeah, going forward on it. It's not a blank slate. No. There's some writing on the slate, but it's not completely written over. Y'all
that's
have a
right.
chance.
We got to start at square one. First, are we going to be able to afford a school system? Mm-hmm. If we are, then the first thing we have to do is we got to make sure we can pay for it. And that's when we go to step two, an ad valorem tax. If we can't pass an ad valorem tax, then there's no way we can start a school system.
Yeah.
So, those are the top conversations that we'll have in our meetings. And we hope people will get involved in our meetings when those conversations happen. Right now, Sean, we probably have one or two people from the community that come to our meetings continuously. We have two per month, first and third Tuesday of every month at 5 and 5:30. And we want the participation. We want to hear what the community says. You know, we want them to hear what we have to say. We want them to hear it out of the horse's mouth, whether they see on social media.
Right. Yeah. Get the actual. Well, and that's the thing too. Maybe I'm making excuses for people, but being part of municipality is new, so they're not.
Right.
They hadn't built the habit.
Yeah.
Of showing
up. Advertise. That's one thing I advertise all the time on social media. Well, come to our meetings. We want you to let us know, and if there's a problem, we want to be able to have a civil debate over it.
You know, that's part of it. That's how the sausage is
that's
made.
Right.
You know, so y'all take part in it. Yeah. Remember my rant from yesterday's show about the turnout on Tuesday? Well, I mean, you have to be part of this.
Yeah.
All right. There's so many. I mean, just kind of round these up. Well, somebody said what the growth is people traveling to Sims for Cock of the Walk. And then next question, several people, when's it opening? Where's it going to be?
So it's a good question. So Cock of the Walk will be on Schillinger Road. If you're going south on Schillinger, right past the Walmart, used to be an old trailer park over there years ago. And you'll see a sold sign out there, and that's where it's going to go. We're actually, the city bought the property.
Is it on the west side of Schillinger?
It's on the west side of Schillinger, that's correct. Ward's Lane.
Okay.
And so you'll see a sold sign there. Actually, half the property will be for the Cock of the Walk, and we're actually fixing to get ready to build our police headquarters on the other half. And so our police operate out of kind of our old public safety complex right now. There's a couple offices in there. But, of course, as we expand, our police department expands, we need room for them. So we're fixing to build our first headquarters.
Yeah, this is a tough thing. You come in when you have a new municipality, and you got to build a new fire station. You got to build a new police department. You got these things
we've
to have.
We've actually built two fire stations.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we've built two fire stations, and now we're getting ready to build our first police station.
Now, that, if I remember the discussions in the past, too, it was more for when Mobile was talking about annexation. It is a benefit to have a municipal fire department for people's insurance rates, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, the advantage with Sims is, I mean, our fire district actually goes outside of our police jurisdiction, so our people at Sims are covered rather than the city limits or not. And they always will be. A few years ago, a couple mayors ago, they got into a dispute with the volunteer fire department, and then it went to court, and the court system declared that if you want the equipment from the volunteer fire department, then you have to take the territory that goes along with it. And so today's
Really? Okay, yeah. So that's the deal. You can't come in and say, I want this, but I don't want that.
No, we can't do that right now. So, you know, there's eventually Sims will have to draw back because we go out to parts of Wilmer, to be honest with you, and we collect no revenue out there at all. And that's so, it. Yeah, we go all the way out to almost Jack Williams Road on a lot. Jack Williams on. Yeah, we go way out there.
You go that far out?
Yeah.
That's a long way from. I'm trying to picture
and it's because
where
our,
the western
because,
limit is of Sims.
And it's because we used to have a volunteer fire department out there. And when the volunteer department split from the city of Sims, they got into a dispute. You know, they shut down all of their fire stations in the city. You know, so the judge basically declared, if you want everything from our from the volunteer fire department, then you have to take the territory that comes along with it. And so the previous mayor, to me, agreed to the deal, and now we have all the territory that comes along with it.
Wow. Yeah. I did. You learn new things about how this all works.
That's right.
Out there. As we wrap up here, I've got a couple questions here just to survive. 10 years, it's a young city, but 10 years from now,
yeah.
What does Sims look like? What you know, you got
number
your
one,
crystal
we have
ball.
Our own school system.
Okay,
you know, and that's what our city is going to be based off of. I mean, if you see any small towns that have their own school system, the heart of their town is their school system, and then everything will thrive based off of that. Number one, our kids are the most important thing in our community right now because they're the future of where we go, where Sims goes. And just recently, we even just started a junior council for our city. We got with Mary G. Montgomery High School. We had them, you know, put in some applications. If you want to be a junior council member, fill it out. And we elected 10 kids to be part of this junior council, and they will have a ability to make decisions based off of a council for the youth, because we can't keep saying we want our youth to be invested, but if our in our future, but if they're not invested now.
Gotcha.
And
yeah.
So that's how Sims needs to look. We obviously we need to continue where we're at now. I mean, everybody still wants to remain the small town with big town conveniences, but there's still going to be growth. There's still going to be change, and we have to embrace it. But we have to do it the right way.
Mayor, thanks for coming in.
And we appreciate you, Sean.
Absolutely. Mayor of Sims, Brandon Van Hook, right here on Midday Mobile. Get you back in soon.
Let's do it.
All right, I'll see you in Sims next time.
Yeah, come on. I know a place we can go eat.
Okay, we can get a deal there. We'll meet for breakfast. Lunch is a little hard, but yeah.